Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, Creator of the earth, He does not fail, nor does He grow weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And surely God has become my salvation. In Him I'll trust, and I'll not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah, He is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that I am thy God? That I am thy God? That I am thy God?
I now ask that you give our brother Glenn your careful and prayerful attention.
Well, thank you, Bob, and good morning, everyone. Those of you that desire to follow along, you can start finding the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to use some easy words in Isaiah, and I'm going to do the complicated stuff like we do in Sunday school. But tonight, or this morning, actually, I'm going to do something that I normally try not to do, but I feel that I've been directed to do that this morning, and that is repeat a sermon. So I knew I was going to be preaching for some time this morning, and I thought about what I would present to you, and been kind of a busy week, but I've got a little time here and there. The direction I was going down didn't seem to be really working really well. And then I was kind of busy over the last few days between work, and then worked yesterday and came here for the fun and festivities on the roof of the church. And last night I was still struggling with the message for this morning. With time, you gain a little experience, and I started to realize that, you know, if I'm struggling, probably I'm not going down the right path. And so I just backed up a little bit, and I felt directed to a verse in which I had some notes from a sermon. Then I looked up the sermon, and when I looked at that, I just kind of knew that that was the message I was supposed to deliver. And it's a sermon that's been very dear to me. And not because speaking of myself, because oftentimes when I stand up here, as I prepare for it, sometimes I'm given, you know, maybe an idea, and I take it, and then hopefully with the Spirit's, you know, assistance and direction, I try to build something around in examples, or I'm drawn to a particular scripture, and oh yeah, that's a good message, and I try to find some history to make it a little more understandable in some way that we can apply it to our lives. But this particular sermon I felt was just given to me. I mean, it just kind of this flood that came upon me. And I knew the scriptures I was going to use, and some examples were just kind of right there with me to put into it. And I have looked over it sometimes since I first presented it, and I've always found it beneficial to me. And so if you heard it, if you've heard it the first time, I hope that you'll also gain something from this again the second time through. I know I have many favorite scriptures that, you know, I read over and over, and they, you know, God's word, even if you hear it over again. Sometimes we need it to reinforce us, sometimes, you know, to remind us, and sometimes it's just to help, you know, edify us and maintain our strength. So many of you have heard this before. It's not going to be new, but hopefully it's every bit as an impact on your life as it has been on mine. And so, for a beginning, I'm going to be in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and I'm going to start with the 28th verse. A verse that's probably very familiar with us. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now this is probably a very familiar verse to us. Also, if you've been in our study of Isaiah in our adult Sunday school class, you should have immediately, without any question, seen that all seven types of this writing style that we're studying are there. It's synonymous, it's antithetic, it's emblematic, synthetic, composite, climactic, and introverted. If you've been in our Sunday school class, you know instantly what I'm talking about, right? There's a style or poetry that we find in Scripture, and it's very abundant in Isaiah. We're most familiar sometimes with a study about this chiastic style of writing, but we find that in Isaiah, there's these other styles that when we started the study, that there's this way of writing where it's synonymous, meaning that an idea is repeated. You know, he in several verses, he kind of repeats the same concept, but in a different way, so it's synonymous. It's antithetic because it shows the contrast. It shows a contrast that between there, even the youths and the young men who are normally known for their strength and stuff, and those that are on the roof yesterday, we're talking about, you know, some of us a little bit older, they're going to feel the aches and pains this morning, but these young guys, you go do that because, you know, I'm going to be feeling it tomorrow, you know. So, you know, we recognize that there's a strength in youth. They say, you know, they're going to fall. They'll be weak. It's those that are the followers of the Lord that he will give strength to. And so it's antithetic. It shows this contrast between physical strength and the strength that we can have as followers and believers of our Lord and Savior. It's emblematic, and then it makes a comparison. And making this example, it says you're going to be as, you know, and here you'll mount up with wings as eagles, making this description that we have this visual picture that we can associate it with. It's synthetic because it answers a question. You know, have you not known? Are the, you know, there's a question. Haven't you understood this? Don't you know this? It's an answer to a question. It's composite because it gives us a list of examples, not just one circumstance, but it gives us several examples. You know, the way we're going to have the strength, they're going to be as the wings of eagles. They'll run, they'll be weary, but not weary. They'll walk and not faint. It's climactic because it develops this theme. And it's an introverted or a reverse chiastic style of writing between faint and weary and then power and strength. And the reverse order and the antithetic or contrasting quality. And so there's a lot that Isaiah put in that those few verses. Apparently something is very important to him. And as we're going through Isaiah, we find that where these things are abundant are typically the theme or the thing that's really important in a series of verses that it builds up to. And so not surprisingly, it's a verse that carries all these characteristics. Though you may not recognize it, you may have read this many times and not looked at it and said, oh, there's an antithetic, emblematic, synthetic, composite, climactic, inverted, chiastic style writing. Wow. But you probably have read it and said, you know, I like this. This is a good verse. You know, because those things are in there. We may not recognize it, but when they're in there, it makes it something very special and something that sticks out to us and we remember it. You know, through the scriptures, God has likened his people to many things. We as the followers and believers of Jesus Christ, we're described like being the branches on a vine, trees by a river, a light on a hill, sheep, salt, a racer in a race, a wrestler, a soldier, and I could go on the list. You know, we're compared to many things. And in this particular case, with the qualities of an eagle. And so this morning, I want us to focus our attention on some facts that when I first put this together, you know, I gathered about an eagle's way of life. And with them, hopefully discover some spiritual truths about ourselves that they'll aid us in becoming, if we will, make the type comparison of being Christian eagles. Because I'm going to make this comparison between our spiritual walk and some of the things that we find in the lives of eagles. And the first thing I want us to consider is, as I said, there's any number of things that the scriptures compare believers to, and there are any number of birds that could have been used as an example. There's any number of birds that are capable of flying. If merely flight were to be the example, there's any number, just the ability to fly, there's any number of birds that could have been chosen. But I think the choice of an eagle is very important. And as I talked about sometimes, to emphasize the one side, Isaiah does this kind of this antithetic style of writing. He shows the contrast to emphasize the opposite. And that's what I'd like to start with, to kind of point out that Isaiah is making this comparison between us and our abilities here that I'm hopefully I'll develop this day with those of eagles, and point out that throughout the scriptures, I don't find anywhere where the believers are compared to chickens. And that may sound kind of funny. I heard a few chuckles, you know. You know, we as believers are not compared to chickens. However, if you think about it, most of mankind, outside of the believers and followers of Jesus Christ, will probably display more of the characteristics of chickens than they do eagles. And I believe that's one of the emphasis that Isaiah is trying to point out in this comparison, that as a believer, these are the qualities that you're going to have, as opposed to the adult. You know, the young men, they're going to faint, they're going to fall, they aren't going to have the strength, but the believers of Jesus Christ, the followers of the Lord, are going to have something different. You know, chickens are crowd followers. If a chicken sees a bunch of chickens running across the chicken yard, you know, he'll take off after them, or she. You know, it doesn't matter where they're all going or why they're going there, you know. He doesn't want to miss out on what's going on. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to do what the majority is doing. Where the big group's at is where the chicken wants to be. You know, chickens are natural. They just squabble and fight over everything in the chicken yard. You know, if one finds this nice juicy bug to eat, suddenly they all want it. They'll chase each other all around the chicken yard trying to take away from one another. They could have walked by that same bug or grasshopper all day long. No one had noticed it. No one cared anything about it. But the moment, you know, one of them decides that it wants it, all of a sudden, they all want it. They have no interest in soaring to great heights. You know, they're content to live in the chicken yard, walking around with their eyes on the ground, scratching in the dirt, looking for something to eat. Most of them will never try to fly, and if they do, it'll only be for a short distance and not very high. You know, they're primarily earthbound birds. And so I think you can see why I'm convinced that living the life of a chicken can no way compare to living the life of an eagle. Chicken living is limited. You know, it's confining, it's predictable, it's boring. But living the life of an eagle, you know, that's a totally different story. You know, when we hear the word eagle, you know, our minds envision this eagle soaring high in the atmosphere. You know, effortlessly riding on the wind currents high above the earth. You know, they're majestic in appearance. You know, they appear powerful. They appear strong. They appear confident. You know, the eagle, he's king of the sky, master of his domain. You know, with keenness of eye, he spies prey and swoops down to the earth with tremendous speed. With sharp, strong talons set, he snatches up his meal and he soars back to his nest to feast. There's something special about the eagle, and for centuries, you know, it's been recognized by nations and kingdoms and empires as king of birds. You know, its image is reproduced on their coins, their seals, their emblems, and their flags. And God in His Word tells us that of all the birds of the air, it's the eagle that His people are identified with. But Isaiah, I believe, is calling us in those words there to become God's spiritual eagles. And so now I'm going to point out, you know, some of the qualities of chickens that I think represents really much of the way mankind is outside of the workings of the Holy Spirit and outside of the believers and followers of the Lord. I'd like to look at some of the qualities of eagles that we're, I believe, called to have, to be part of us, to be part of our nature and our mindset and our expectations in life. And as we examine an eagle's way of life, I would like us to think of ourselves as being young eagles, eaglets. And that God, our Heavenly Father, is the parent eagle. And that He desires to accomplish in our lives what eagle parents are trying to accomplish in their offspring's lives. And so the next point I want to start off as we look at eagles is kind of interesting, if you look at this, that they mate for life. Only till death are they parted. Interesting enough, it's kind of unique in the animal kingdom. It's not unheard of, but it's kind of unique. Is that both parents take turns sitting on the eggs. It's not just the female eagle. Both the male and the female take turns sitting on the nest and the egg. They both guard the nest. They both work at feeding, collecting food, and bringing food back to the offspring, and also in the training, the upbringing of the young. To the eagle, raising a family is a responsibility that belongs to both parents. You know, a description of a newborn eaglet is almost like describing a newborn Christian. It's born with its eyes and mouth wide open. Sort of looks like this mouth that's been kind of attached to a bunch of little fuzzy feathers. You know, they're all kind of little, not like the adult birds. They kind of have this fuzz on them with this big mouth, you know. And the parents are kept busy keeping that mouth filled because the young eaglet has this insatiable desire for food. And that eaglet knows when it opens its mouth, dad and mom eagle are going to fill it with good things. Now God, our Heavenly Father, like that father eagle, treats us much like those parents treat those little eaglets. As we read in Psalms, I'm going to just go through some of these kind of short, you don't need to turn to them. Psalms 81:10, where it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And just as the mother and father eagle know what a baby eagle needs to grow, so much more does God know what His little spiritual eaglets need to grow on. Matthew 7:11 says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? The meaning of the word eagle itself means, I find quite interesting, one that feeds with the beak. And just what a wonderful typology of God who feeds His own children by the words from His mouth. Just as a natural eagle is depend and live on food that's received from the parent eagle's mouth, so likewise, God's spiritual eagle is depend and live on the food from His mouth. We read in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, our Heavenly Father is the father eagle who feeds His eaglets from the food from a heavenly menu, the things that edify us and strengthen us spiritually. In the eagle world, it's a fact that eaglets subsist only on a very specific diet. You know, nothing else is going to take place of eagle food. enables them to grow, to mature, to become strong. And without this proper diet, the eaglets will grow weak, they become sickly, and eventually they'll die. And so it is in the world of God's spiritual eagles. You know, you and I are to feast on God's specific food. If we are to grow and become strong and mature spiritual eagles of God, anything else, anything less, and we too will grow weak and die spiritually. You know, we must have that specific and unique diet of God's Word. You know, Isaiah 55:2 asks this simple question. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Or in our example here, the eagle food. And labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, sometimes, as God's little eaglets, you know, we don't practice the serious eating of the Word of God. You know, we become picky eaters. We're particular about the food that we want to consume. I know some people, and no doubt you do too, and I'm not talking specifically anyone here, but maybe it may apply, but I'm specifically thinking of, you know, co-workers and individuals who are Christians and they profess a certain belief, but when you really talk to them, it's kind of a distorted belief. It's because they put together their own revised version of the Bible. You know, it's comprised of only of their favorite verses, ones that contain these positive confessions and positive promises. You know, it's void of any verses that confront, that condemn, or challenges them in their private theology. You know, the ones that I know like this have never really grown or matured in their Christian walk. In many ways, they're like Christians, they're still in diapers, who have refused to be weaned from the milk of the Word of the most basic word, even though they may be 40 or 50 years old in their belief and their spiritual walk. The meat chokes them, but that's what will cause them to become strong. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul is addressing this very thing, I believe. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, we'll start with the first verse. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Paul's addressing, you know, believers. But he's telling, you know, I can't move you on to the important thing, the meat of the gospel, because you haven't even mastered the basics. And because of that, they were weak. They were spiritually weak, and they had these problems. You know, I love being a dad. I love Dave and Audra when they're little babies, and I love the babies that we have here, and the newborns, and toddlers, and to watch them, you know, they're crawling around and they're learning to walk and kind of waddling around here and stuff and exploring the world, and everything's new to them. You know, I love that. That's great. It's a wonderful time in their lives to be a part of. But, you know, nobody thinks it's cute when a person remains a baby for too long. You know, if a child never learns to walk or talk, never figures out how to feed itself, if it never outgrows its need for diapers, you know, there's a sign that something is terribly wrong. If your baby stops growing to maturity, you would call it a tragedy. If your teenagers were still acting as immature as they did before turning 5, you know, you'd be in the phone book trying to find some help, some professional help. And why? It's because although, you know, we love babies, we expect them to eventually grow up. And God is no different. You know, He doesn't want any of His children to remain baby-like forever. He wants His children to grow up. He wants them to gain strength and to be able to perform functions and tasks. If we could, I'm going back to our example of this newborn eaglet. You know, this newborn eagle is born into a pretty secure life, very comfortable life. You know, the parent eagles have built this comfortable nest high up in some rocky crag or high in the tree where it's pretty well safe from most enemies. They've tried to make it comfortable. It'll be lined with some type of soft material, either fur from animals or cloth or material from humans that they've found. But, you know, the inner lining will be very soft. And they'll be snuggled there under their parents' protective wings. Every one of the young ones continuously watched. You know, and every one of their needs is supplied. You know, Psalms 91, I'm going to read verses 1 and 4, speaks of the scene with these words. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler." You know, we can expect that same type of care from God. You know, life in the nest for the young eaglet is wonderful. Its mouth opens and it's filled with food. The nest is cozy, it's comfortable. You know, this is the life. You know, probably those little eaglets think, you know, I could stay here forever. But then something important happens in a young eaglet's life. And that's the eagles. They must learn that eagles were born to fly. You know, they're meant to soar to heavenly heights, to breathe the heavenly atmosphere. It's inherent in them. Their very nature demands it. It's been placed there by God. It is their tendency to mount up on their wings and to fly. I saw a television show some time ago where they, I don't remember what it was, but, you know, they'd captured this eagle. And I don't really remember the reason because it seems, you know, because I don't remember the specific thing. I remember what I'm going to talk about, but I believe that they captured it, had been hurt, and the people that captured it were trying to help it, but they didn't know anything about it. They just had it in this cage, and they were trying to take it to some people that they thought could help it. But nonetheless, in the show, it shows this eagle that's confined in this cage. And you could tell by his actions that he wasn't happy about being in the cage, and he didn't want to be there. And he was putting up quite a fuss over it. You know, time and time again, you know, he'd flap his wings, and he just bang himself at the sides of his cage trying to get his freedom. He'd done it so many times, you could see, I mean, not gray mouse, but he's kind of bloodied around the face, and he had some areas where the feathers were kind of thin from it. It's kind of this pathetic and pitiful sight to behold. You know, you could watch him as he walked proudly back and forth, and then he let out this loud screech, you know, he just throw himself against the bars of his cage again. He'd fall backwards, and he'd lay there for a moment, you know, his eyes looking up, scanning the sky as if you could see him saying, you know, I don't belong here. I'm supposed to be up there. That's where I belong. You know, deep inside of him, there was this urge, even though he's injured and he didn't have the ability, that he wanted to soar on the heights above. You know, the sky was beckoning to him, and he wanted to respond, but he couldn't. He wanted to do what eagles were meant to do. He knew that he wasn't meant to be earthbound, but to soar in the sky. And so, just as it is with earthly eagles, so it is in God's spiritual eagles, the followers and believers in the Lord. You know, we too are meant to experience heavenly heights in the Spirit, to spread our wings of faith and to ride the heavenly winds of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's inherent in us. Our new nature as believers demands it. It's placed within us by our Heavenly Father. You know, as these spiritual eaglets of God, there's this inborn tendency in us to want to soar to some new spiritual level, to something that we haven't experienced before, something that non-believers don't have that desire to do. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so I'd ask you this morning, have you spiritually soared lately? That's what eagles do, and that's what God is calling us to be, His spiritual eagles. You know, it's true that chickens and eagles are both birds. But you know, a chicken is an earthbound bird. It can flop and fly a little, but it can scarcely get its feet off the ground. In stark contrast to the eagle. It's a story that I think is appropriate here that I want to use. It's a story of a farmer who was out walking one day. And he found an eagle egg. And he took it home with him to the farm, and he took it to the hen house, and he placed it under a sitting hen who had several eggs under her. And in time, all the eggs hatched, and out of the shell that out of that one egg came this eagle. To her way of the mother chicken, to her way of thinking, is the oddest looking chicken she'd ever seen, with the oddest voice that she'd ever heard. When the other chickens chirped, this one would screech. When the mother hen clucked, all but this ugly one would come running. There simply seemed to be no understanding between them. They spoke two different languages. And so because he was odd, all the others picked and pecked at him. Of course he was odd. He was an eagle who was trying to live the chicken life. One day while he was in the barnyard, a huge shadow passed over him. It was an adult eagle soaring high above. This father eagle looked down and saw the little eaglet. Seeing it as one of his own kind, the father eagle swooped down, giving a loud screech. The young eaglet looked up. The father eagle said to the eaglet, "What are you doing down there? You're not a chicken, you're an eagle." The eagles aren't meant for barnyard living. The heavens are your domain. Come up here. Now the little fellow wondered what to do. Up to now, the barnyard had been his home to him. But he really hadn't been happy there. He just didn't seem to fit in with barnyard living. All of a sudden, the truth of who he was hit him. He discovered his true identity. The father eagle had given it to him. He wasn't a chicken. He was an eagle. Deep down inside him, he felt the urge to respond to the father eagle, but when he tried, he couldn't seem to get off the ground. The father eagle screeched again, "Just make a jump and flap your wings. You can fly if you try." The little eaglet made a feeble attempt, flapped his wings, and landed on top of the barnyard fence post. The father eagle screeched again, "Child, jump higher. Try again. Make the jump, and I'll sweep under you and carry you on my wings." The little eaglet did what the father eagle asked him to do, and the father eagle did what he said he would do. A mighty jump of faith, and the little eaglet was riding on the father eagle's wings on his first solo flight into the heavenly realm. You know, as saints of God, we are called to be God's Christian eagles. But many of us have been content to live the chicken life, confined to barnyard limitation in our spirits. I believe the barnyard to the believer is any attitude, any mindset, any lifestyle that restricts us from being or accomplishing all that God has purposed for us to be or do in our life. Our barnyard is that comfort zone that we like to live in because it makes no demands of us that will challenge us to change. Like that father eagle in the story, our heavenly Father calls to us in our barnyard and challenges us to spread our wings of faith and to come up higher. Some respond and get as high as the barnyard post, like that little eaglet in our story, and settle there feeling like they've really accomplished something. But they need to make another jump of faith and set their wings in the promises of God's Word and let the wind from the Holy Spirit lift them up. I'd like to go back to our analogy of a young eaglet in the nest. and point out some things that a little eaglet, as it's growing into maturity, is going to come and going to be experienced. I'd like to share with you the parent eagle's method of training their young to fly. The mother eagle will watch until the eaglets in the nest are fully feathered. When she thinks they've matured sufficiently, she begins to, what they call, stir the nest. With her strong beak, she'll start tearing out everything in the nest that makes it soft and cozy for her young. She removes all the padding of rabbit fur and animal skins, making the nest so uncomfortable and miserable, her little young ones don't want to stay in the nest any longer. She then begins the process of helping them develop strength in their wings. She hovers near the nest, flapping her wings furiously. As they watch her do this, the little eaglets will begin to imitate the mother by flapping their wings also. They seem to know that this is what they're supposed to do. Just before she takes her eaglets out on their first solo flight, she'll perch on the edge of the nest over her young and inspect them. Noticing that they have loose feathers sticking out all over them, she knows that they must first be removed if the little eaglets are ever going to fly. She begins to beat her wings, causing this mighty blast of wind to blow upon the eaglets. Soon all the loose feathers have been blown from them and they're ready for their flying lesson. Before I go on, I'd like to just stop for a moment here and ask you each a personal question here. I'm not expecting a response. I just want you to reflect on your life and consider this. Are you identifying with these little eaglets' stirring of the nest experience? Lately, have you found yourself experiencing discomforts of the stirring of your nest? Is there an awareness that something just isn't right, but you're not sure what it is? Is your comfort zone being threatened? And are you a person who doesn't like change? Are you uncomfortable and worried about it? Have you considered just maybe that God's stirring your nest, preparing you to not be comfortable where you're at, but for something that He has that's even greater? That it's His way of telling you that you've stayed in the nest too long, and He doesn't want His eaglets to be nest dwellers their whole life. It's too confining, it's too limited, it's too ho-hum. God doesn't want His spiritual eaglets to be nest sitters. They were meant to fly. And sometimes God has to tear up your nest to get you into the air. Have you experienced the strong winds of the Holy Spirit convicting power blowing into your life recently? Has God been dealing with you about those loose feathers in your life? Has He been speaking to you about the things in your life that affect your spirituality and drags you down, the things that keep you in your nest? Things that you know you should be taking action on but are neglecting in doing so. If so, don't be discouraged because you're feeling uncomfortable where you're at. But like our example here, look up and be encouraged. Because God the Father, just like that mother eagle, is working your life to help you rid yourself of those loose feathers. Those things that will prohibit you from being able to take to flight. He's getting ready. He's getting you ready to mount up with your wings. He wants you to quit fluttering around in the nest and learn how to spread your wings of faith and fly. Going back to our story here, when this mother eagle sees that all these loose feathers are blown away, she then spreads her wings out and gives forth a certain scream. Somehow these little eaglets seem to know its command for them to step out on one of the mother's wings and firmly secure itself with its talons and then with its beak, and take hold of one of those big, strong feathers. And then the mother eagle, making sure this little eaglet is securely set on her wing, she lets out another scream and launches off the edge, off the nest into the space. You know, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I saw it as one of these nature shows, you know, to watch this little eaglet clinging to this full-size parent eagle as it flies off the nest. So she begins to ascend with this little eagle holding on for dear life. You know, this eagle has never experienced anything like this before. He's going places that he's never gone before, seeing sights that he's never seen. It's probably thrilling. But just as he's having the time of his life, the mother eaglet suddenly flutters her wings and shakes them loose from her wing. right in the middle of the air, hundreds of feet from the ground, and it's solo flight time. Now, when this mother eagle shakes the little one loose, she doesn't say, "Well, you're on your own now, see you around and fly away." No, she doesn't do that. She slowly begins to circle around the surprised little eaglet, keeping a concerned and watchful eye on him. As he flounders and flutters and does little somersaults and tries to fly for the first time. You know, he'll furiously be flapping his wings, he'll turn around, he'll be upside down. He's trying to do everything he can to try and stay aloft, but he's going to be slowly losing altitude. And when the mother eagle sees her little one getting dangerously close to the ground, she swoops down and in this powerful talon that can grab prey and haul it back to the nest for a feast, will tenderly grab that little eaglet and carry him back up to a great height and start the process all over again. And each day she'll continue to repeat this until finally the little eagle's wings have become strong and he's able to stay aloft and riding the air currents and soaring effortlessly as his parents are doing. I want to point out several spiritual truths that are suggested to us by the flight training process of eaglets. A spiritual truth is found in the mother eagle spreading her wings and commanding her eaglets to step out on them and firmly grasp a feather in their beak. You know, the two wings of the parent eagle can be likened to the Word of God, both the Holy Bible and the Book of Mormon. The feathers can be thought of as the individual promises found in the Word of God. God the Father Eagle spreads His Word before us and commands us to step out onto it, to grasp, hold firmly on the promises found in His Word, just as that eaglet has to grab hold of that feather and to hold on. But just as that little eaglet experienced an unexpected shaking that caused him to lose his hold on his mother's feather, so many of the followers of Jesus Christ, particularly early in your Christian walk, may experience a shaking of your faith, then cause them to lose hold of their promises of God that they've been clinging to. But don't despair. And don't get frustrated and don't give up and don't throw up your hands and quit, because this can happen when you're in the process of training to be a spiritual eagle, when you're learning to fly and to soar in the spiritual realm, when you're a believer of Jesus Christ. Because just as that parent eagle watches over her little ones to make sure they don't fall to the ground when they lose hold of the feathers while in training, even so, God the Father watches over His own to keep them from falling to the ground when they lose hold on the promises of God while in training to become the strong believers, to lift to the heights and to soar to the heights that He's called them to. He lifts them up again to try, as we find in Deuteronomy 32:11, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings." Just as the parent eagle continues to work with her young until they're fully trained, even so our Heavenly Father continues to work with His young. Philippians 1:6, it says, "Being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, God doesn't want us to settle for a barnyard walk. He's determined that we're going to mount up with the wings of an eagle, as Isaiah said we would have. But for a young eaglet to accomplish that, it is an easy task. And it's not an easy task that God asked for us, because, as I said there, you first have to be uncomfortable with where you're at before you look for something else. That oftentimes, I think, is probably the biggest detriment that we have, living in the nation where we are and the conditions of great abundance that we have. That we read in the warning that we find from our Lord and Savior about in Revelation about the church that was lukewarm. They were content with where they're at. We can get content where we're at because our nest is comfortable. Because we live in a nation of comfort. And in order for God to make us leave that comfort, He has to make it uncomfortable for us. And sometimes we don't perceive it that way. Sometimes when all of a sudden we find our nest is full of thorns and briars and kind of pinching us and sticking us and scratching us, we think that something's wrong. And we think we're being punished. And we're thinking that things are going wrong, and we don't maybe realize that maybe God is trying to make us uncomfortable, that we're looking for something better, that we need to look up, that maybe He's asking us to come out of the nest, to soar to new heights, to not be part of the barnyard and chasing after all the things that are of naught, and wanting the things that every other chicken in the chicken yard wants and squabbling and fighting, but to soar to heights and to grow, sail up high in the sky and closer to Him. To feel the direction and the urging of the Holy Spirit. That our wings would be strong. They could take us on great flights. Not just a short little flight over a fence and a chicken coop, but can carry us great distances with great strength. As Isaiah said here, back here in our opening verse in Isaiah 40, hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, I say that, have you not heard? Do you not understand? Do you not believe that? Are you not looking for your strength and guidance from the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to step up off the nest and to be able to look down in that depths below and step out in faith that the Lord is going to make you a success? That He's not going to let you fall to the ground, even though you're not sure how it's going to accomplish. You know, those young little eaglets from the first time, they can't fly. But they don't give up. And the parent doesn't give up. And pretty soon they are. And that's the way we are in our spiritual walk. It can be fearful to step out. To step out of that comfort zone. To step out in faith. To spread your wings and hope you can fly. But that's what God has called us to do. To have that faith that we can sail to new heights in our spiritual walk. That we're not confined to the ho-hum barnyard routine. He has great things for each of us individually in our lives. Great things for the church. Great things for mankind. But it can be scary to step out of that comfortable nest. And to look down from great heights. And say, how am I going to accomplish this? It's a common phrase, a leap of faith. But hopefully this the example that I've given here, you know, can show that, you know, in this the steps of a young eaglet to obtain that, what has to happen. And the same thing in our spiritual walk. Whether you're new in your faith and you're just trying your wings out, or whether you've been there for a while and also have been content and you don't want to go any farther, or become discouraged, or you think things are wrong, you're feeling uncomfortable. What are the reasons for it? Maybe God is calling you into something higher and something greater. Have you got to that point in your spiritual walk where you're content and you don't want any more? You're content where you're at, but God may have something greater. But to do it, you may have to step away from the things that are comfortable in your life. As I close this morning, I'm going to do so with a poem by Bill Harvey. Its title is Eagle Free. An eaglet in its downy nest survived the scene below. It asked with animated zest, "O mother, I would know. Will I someday begin to fly as high and far as you?" The answer came, "Of course you'll fly, for that's what eagles do. High born you are, and high you'll stay, and higher still you'll go, and never know an earthbound day, nor crawling to and fro. Now dashing down and soaring high, now floating on the air, now flying where you will to fly, now free to do and dare. I'll take the down from out the nest and let the thorns protrude. I'll let the thorns disturb your rest and halt your nesting mood. Then soon you'll climb upon the edge and stretch your pinions out. You'll totter on the eerie ledge and ponder space and doubt. Then with a wing I'll knock you off to flounder, flap, and fly. And with a swoop I'll pick you up and never mind your cry. I'll put you on the perch again, then knock you off the nest to see if you will stand the strain and stand the acid test. I'll give you the opportunity to prove that you can fly, and then a final chance to see if you will fly or die. I'd rather the rugged, jagged rocks would claim you as their own than bear the taunts and jeers and mocks that you have never flown. But fly you must, and fly you will, and conquer gravity, and know the zephyr's golden thrill, and fly for all to see. My eagle child, this word I give, keep looking to the sky, for though an eagle flies to live, an eagle lives to fly.